Welcome back to the show, Evan Brady. Good to have you here on a Wednesday morning. It was Monday of this week we heard an announcement from Prime Minister Mark Carney.
I'm pleased to announce that Canada has selected TKMS as the preferred supplier for Canada's patrol submarine project. It's a huge step, but there's more to come. We will now enter into negotiations to procure up to 12 submarines. And that process is commercially sensitive. And as always, we will not negotiate in public so as to maintain the strongest possible position for Canada.
So the announcement was made, 12 submarines. Now, they haven't been purchased yet. They haven't signed on the dotted line. But this is one of the biggest military investments in the history of our country, for sure, announcing this plan to purchase a fleet of submarines, new submarines, something we also haven't done since, what, I think the 60s? We've been buying used submarines for our fleet for a period of time. So the federal government says the deal will improve Canada's ability to patrol its waters, of course, meet that NATO commitment, respond to the growing global security challenges. But a lot of people are pointing at the price tag and saying tens of billions of dollars is a thing. And then there's the ongoing operation and maintenance and those types of things. This is where my next guest comes in. David Zimmerman is a University of Victoria history professor. He's got interest and expertise in all things Royal Canadian Navy, anti-submarine warfare, science, technology, and war. And I welcome Professor David Zimmerman to the show. Professor, thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
So for people who don't follow military issues, how significant was this announcement this week?
Well, it's tremendously significant. As you pointed out, it's certainly the largest acquisition of submarines in Canadian history. We purchased four British submarines new in the 1960s. They're long since been retired. We purchased used from the British the four Victoria-class submarines, which have not really been the best financial decision. But to buy 12 fully cutting-edge modern submarines is dramatically improve the capabilities of the Canadian Armed Forces, the Royal Canadian Navy, to defend Canada.
As you watch this unfold, what did you make of the choice? Because, of course, they were looking at the German model. They were looking at the South Korean bid as well, ultimately going with German. Can you talk about your thoughts on why they made the decision they did?
Well, I think both submarines were excellent. They both met the military requirements. They each had advantages. The Korean submarine was a bit bigger, perhaps better for operating in the deep Pacific. Also has a superior weapon system with a vertical-launched missile system in addition to conventional torpedo tubes. The German submarine, and its German-Norwegian submarine, actually has far better under-ice capability for operating in the Arctic. So ultimately, the decision, I don't think, was primarily military, because both decisions were good from that perspective, but were economic and political.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the government decided that the benefits being provided by the German and Norwegian consortium, as well as the political connections to NATO allies, was more important, and they went with that particular bid.
So because we're an open line talk show, of course, we have been talking about this week, and there's been a lot of people weighing in and giving their thoughts. And there's been a few people that are saying, like, why do we need these subs? Are we really under attack from Russia, for example? Can you talk about that, Professor? What is the need for us? Do we need to patrol our waters around Canada?
Absolutely, we do. If you don't, then basically you're saying to anyone else they can operate within our waters. We like to think that particularly the waters in the Arctic are Canadian waters. But, you know, international players have made it quite clear that there are international sea lanes and they can operate freely within Canadian territorial waters in the Arctic. And the reality is we haven't had any way to enforce our sovereignty in that part of the world. The other thing people have to realize, maybe right this moment, there isn't an imminent military threat. But you can't create a force of submarines like this overnight. And if you don't invest, then you will not have them if and when you need them. And perhaps even more important, if you have them, it's actually less likely that you will need them. It's a right. paradox, but it is true.
Yeah. So another question that's asked is why 12, right? People, because I saw a report that said, you know, with 12 submarines, we'll be able to have subs in the water on all three oceans. So you've got Pacific, Atlantic, and Arctic. But yeah. why do we need 12 was the question that was asked.
Well, let's put it this way. These submarines will be better than the Victoria class. But right now, the Victoria class is averaging at most of one or two of the four ships operating at any one time. Submarines require a tremendous amount of downtime. They have a lot of maintenance that has to be done to them, a lot of safety checks that has to be done. So getting 12, probably on average, there'll be six or eight operational at any one time. And we do have the world's longest coastline, and we do have three oceans that we have responsibilities in. So if you think about getting 12 but only maybe having eight, that's not actually an awful lot of submarines to patrol our vast oceans, areas.
Right. Another question that came up, we're chatting today with Professor David Zimmerman, University of Victoria, with expertise in Royal Canadian Navy, anti-submarine warfare, science, technology, and war. So a great guest on this topic. A lot of people curious as to why diesel subs were chosen as opposed to a nuclear option.
Well, people are complaining about the cost of these submarines. Multiply it, I would guess, by a factor of at least five for nuclear-powered submarines. And unfortunately, with nuclear-powered submarines, as the Australians are working to develop their own nuclear submarines, as the British have discovered over the years, there's only two countries that can provide those sort of propulsion systems. The French, they're okay, and then the Americans, who have by far the best technology. Do we really want to be that much more dependent on the Americans? And do we have five times the money to buy the submarines? Diesel electric boats have their own value compared to nuclear submarines, particularly in their stealth capability. They're much quieter than a nuclear-powered submarine. They operate on underwater on batteries. They're incredibly silent and incredibly difficult to detect.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to know your thoughts, Professor, on it. It really is striking to me that it's not just a simple sales transaction, right? Canada says we need subs. Another country says we make subs, and Canada buys the subs, right? Now it's like, what can you do for me? What else do we get if we go with you? Is that just the changing nature of military procurement?
No, this has in fact always been the case. The government has always looked for economic benefits for placing a contract, even with Canadian companies. What are you going to do? How are you going to help develop the economy? So these submarines are going to provide a tremendous amount of economic benefits to Canada. Hello?
Yep. I find it interesting that, the economic benefit is one thing, but even just the procurement process, we have had General Rick Hillier on our program many times, and he suggests that the military procurement process up until probably this last year, because I think he's acknowledged it's made some improvements, is one of the most flawed parts of our whole defense system. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's unbelievable how long it's taking them to make decisions. And now, the submarine is maybe a new model. It's certainly been done much more smoothly. But let's look at the other massive defense procurement project, and that is the replacement of our absolutely decrepit CF-18 fighters. We've bought 16 F-35s. Are we going to buy more? Are we going to buy this Swedish aircraft? And this has been going on for maybe even two decades. I mean, this is how long it takes them to make up their mind. Mm-hmm. And this is just unacceptable. But I think the Carney government, the one thing that they are really doing is trying to find a way to streamline it, but not get caught in the problems when you streamline too much of having, making the wrong decision, not getting the benefits you want. So they're just trying to speed up the whole process and make it far more efficient. And I hope that they're finding that way.
You know, I wonder about just the impact of so many countries with what's going on with NATO and mm-hmm. the impact of all of these countries saying, okay, we're moving our total spending on defense to 5% GDP.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of demand on military procurement. Are we ready for this? And should Canada be doing more to try and capitalize?
Well, Canada is. I mean, it's not just the submarines that are being built. It is as well. They're building new destroyers in Halifax, and they are starting to build them. One of the first of the new supply ships for the Navy is just being finished off in Vancouver. So there's lots and lots of things that Canada is doing to try to rebuild its armed forces. It's tremendously expensive. I mean, I guess the question you could ask me, do I really think Canada will get 12 submarines? I don't know, quite frankly. I really don't know. But I think that this is a serious decision by the government, and I think they're going to certainly follow through with getting as many as is possible. But, you know, economic situations can change. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a final decision for all 12, maybe being a decade into the future.
Does that leave us exposed, David, the fact that we probably won't get these subs for several years?
Well, not until the mid-1930s. And in fact, I think that the reality is that one of the things that Canada asked for was a speeding up of the process. And they got considerable speeding up in getting their first submarines delivered from both the Germans and the Koreans, made real accommodation. In fact, I think it was the German Navy or was the Norwegian Navy gave up one of their submarines in the sequence so that Canada could get one earlier. You know, the bottom line is we went through a period at the beginning of this century for almost 20-plus years of really not treating defense procurement seriously. And the huge costs that are involved in trying to then rebuild almost from scratch, it's dramatically more expensive than having a sensible ongoing defense procurement policy.
Mm-hmm. David Zimmerman is my guest, University of Victoria, interest and expertise in modern Canadian history, war, technology. Maybe I'll just pull back for a more generalized question here as we reach the end of our time. But you look at what role Canada played, for example, World War One, World War Two, very much mm-hmm. in the heart of the war, very much operational as a military. Since then, I mean, I would suggest that we have not invested in our military the same way. We have taken a much more kind of peacekeeping status globally. Is mm-hmm. what's happening right now changing our focus and maybe how we're viewed globally when it comes to military?
I think Canada has actually developed within NATO, certainly, and of course with the United States in particular, a very bad reputation for not living up to our obligations on spending on defense, which we have agreed to with our NATO allies. The fact of the matter is that finally it's being taken seriously as the geopolitical situation seems to be dramatically worsening, is really certainly a step forward, and I hope it's just not a step too late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what the future will bring, but the fact of the matter is we're looking at a brand new Canadian Navy, but we're looking at least a decade or more before there's a significant improvement in its capabilities. And, you know, the Air Force is if the government would make the decision on the fighter jet, they're closer. But still, right. We have a long way to go. And it's not just the Army. It's not just the Navy. I'm sorry, it's not just the Navy. It's not just the Air Force, but it's the Army as well, which has to modernize in this really new age type of warfare with things like drones tending to play a dominant role. And where that's going to go, you know, it's very, very difficult for people to understand it. I don't, and I read things very diligently.
I want to ask a question that's going to infuriate some listeners. I'm just putting that out mm-hmm. there right now. But my last question is, do we give Trump credit for this? Take politics out of it. Do we give Trump credit for the fact that Canada's sitting up, putting on its big boy pants, and actually investing in military probably the way they arguably should have been for years?
Maybe so, but I have to say, even before Trump was reelected into his second term, there were steps being taken under the Trudeau administration. As I said, for instance, the proceeding forward with the destroyers. Now, just to give an example of just how slow these things have been, the national shipbuilding policy was promulgated in 2010. They're not yet, they're barely started the new destroyers. And they will be many years before the first one is in commission.
Right.
So it's a very difficult thing to say. I'm certain how much Trump has had a role to play, I don't know. But certainly the worsening situation, and when you talk about Ukraine, when you talk about the Middle East, when you talk about the issues with China, and China developing what is now the second most powerful navy in the world, we have to be ready, certainly within our alliances, to pull our weight. And sure. Canada, up to this point, has not been, mm-hmm. certainly for a very long time.
David, this has been a great chat. I appreciate your time today.
You're welcome.
David Zimmerman, professor at the University of Victoria. Great chat about this recent announcement and the plan to purchase 12 new submarines from Germany. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.